Colossians, in the first chapter, and the 24th verse says, "Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." I want to talk to you tonight about this verse of Scripture. Filling up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. Finally, but tonight, Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, and when he died on the cross, he said it's finished. But he was talking about the plan of salvation. You know, you can't add a thing to the plan of God's salvation. It's all finished. Now, you don't have to worry about that end of it. Finally, but tonight, Jesus died on the cross. And when he died that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Then he arose the third day, that you might have justification, that you might be justified. But neighbor, the Apostle Paul said that Jesus had some things left behind that wasn't finished. And that is that he had some afflictions left. That affliction is not sickness, as a lot of times I used to think it was. And I used to read that and think, well, I hear him talk about folks being afflicted. But I read in the book of James, and God said, if there's any afflicted, let him pray. And if there's any merry, let him sing songs. And if there's any sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And I thought, well, James, and now if that ain't all the same, why? It looks like I thought it was all the same, but it isn't. You see, affliction is just what I was talking about. This lady has got affliction. She's got a burden, something that's bothering her down in her heart, and in her soul, and in her mind. And she's got trouble, and she's got problems. And that's what the Apostle Paul, he said, I now rejoice. Who now rejoice? He said, I'm rejoicing in my suffering. I'm rejoicing in the fact that I'm able to suffer for you, in that I might fill up the affliction, fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. In other words, Jesus died and he paid everything. He finished everything except my neighbor taking care of the burdens and the problems and the heartaches of men and women like you and I. And I'm glad that the Apostle Paul wrote this and said, I'm rejoicing in the fact it's suffering. In my body I have to suffer, but he said, I'm building up, or I'm here in the stead of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm taking over where Jesus left off. And brother, tonight, if you and I ever find out that we're here in this world not just to be saved, to keep from going to hell. A lot of folk got the idea, you know, that I just got saved so I wouldn't have to go to hell. Honey, that's just one thing you got saved for. Bless God. He didn't save you to keep you out of hell and only save you to take you to heaven, but he saved you that you might be able to do what the Apostle Paul said, that you might fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. In other words, when Jesus looked out yonder over Jerusalem and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicken under your wings, and you would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The old apostle, my friend, came along and looked over the same situation. In other words, Paul saying that Jesus, when he went back to heaven, my friend, still had some things that bothered him. He still got some things, neighbor. Listen tonight, I believe that every care and I believe that every burden that comes upon your heart is upon his too. I believe that Jesus is concerned about every one of us tonight and about every burden and about every problem. And I'm glad tonight that he is. And then the old apostle Paul came into a position and into a place where he said, you know, I'm filling up that. He said, I'm suffering in my body just like Jesus did in his body. And he said, because of that, my suffering, he said, I rejoice in it. I'm glad that God's allowed me to suffer, that I might fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. Neighbor, I want to tell you tonight, it's not something that a lot of folks, like a lot of people out here, get up and talk about how awful it is to have to be a Christian and how hard it is to have to serve God. The only thing wrong with that crowd, they ain't serving God. Maybe you're trying to keep from it, brother. It's not hard to serve God, but it's a burden to keep from serving God. When you get born again, that's what he saved you for. The Bible tells me, by neighbor, that we have been made to be conformed
turned into the image of the dear Son of God. And to be like Jesus in this world, neighbor, is to suffer for others. And yet Paul said to rejoice while you're doing it. I believe the Apostle Paul was happy. I believe, brother, when they're beating him in the back, and I believe when they're putting the stripes on his back, he can still shout because he's doing it for others. My brother, listen, Jesus Christ, I believe that he was happy. I believe that when Jesus hung yonder on Golgotha's hill, I believe our Savior, brother, done it willingly. And I believe that he's glad that he could. I believe, my friend, that Jesus Christ rejoiced in the fact that he is able to take my sins and your sins and carry them yonder to the old rugged cross. No, neighbor, tonight, I be a Christian, not what a lot of folks say. A lot of people say, brother, you know, it's so hard to be a Christian, and I think I'll just give up, honey. The only thing is, you need to give up. Brother, you just need to give up and get in and let God have his way with you. And it's wonderful to be saved, and it's wonderful, my friend, and to be able to carry on for the Lord and to look out yonder as I've been able to see in the last little while. You know, I used to think, boy, and I did used to. I've been all along the way. I don't think anybody's ever had an experience that I haven't had a little something like it. I believe, brother, if you've ever had any kind of an experience out here with the flesh and the devil, I've had a little taste of some of the things that you've had. You know, it was a time in my life when I wasn't doing anything but just sort of preaching and just sort of hanging on and just sort of going along. And sometimes it got so disgusting that I didn't want to go to church no more. I decided, and you know, a lot of times when I'd get up to preach, I'd just give $1,000 if I had somebody to preach for me. And now, brother, I'd give $1,000 sometimes if they'd let me preach. And brother, it used to be hard sometimes when I was trying to keep from maybe doing what the Lord wanted me to do and sort of just going along. But now I want to tell you, brother, I rejoice, and I'm going so fast now. I don't know which way I'm going half the time, and I never have time to eat a whole full meal most of the time. And sometimes I go till I just flop down, and a lot of times I have to stop off somewhere extra before I get to the house and lay down. Maybe stop at the side of the road, lay down in the car, because my old body, it just giving away. But praise God, I want to tell you, it's still good. Oh, listen tonight, brother, I tell you, I can say with the Apostle Paul, I want to fit up that of the affliction, of the suffering of our Savior. I want to be able to suffer for my Lord in any capacity, even though it may strain the body, and even though, my friend, it may cause me to go down into a grave at an early age, I still rather die, my neighbor, tonight, doing what I'm doing. Now, God, as the preacher done and told you tonight, I've got two churches, one full-time and one sometimes, and I just get there sometimes. I don't call it a halftime church, because most times I ain't there half the time. I'm just there when I can be. And then I've got four radio stations I preach on every week, and then I've got the children's home. I'm the fellow that has to see that all the bread comes in, all the money comes in, have to hire all the labor, have to fire all the labor, and I got nine women working. Now I'll tell you, brother, when you live with one and work nine, you sure got a problem. And I want to tell you, brother, that's affliction within itself. And then I got all the other things, you know, that you have to put up with, and I've got those lungers over there, and you just barely get them in and get them all straightened out, get attached to them and get them saved and get them going for God. And then somebody come by and they'll jerk them out and pull them out and take them off, and it breaks your heart. Then you get other little fellas in, and that breaks your heart. I just stay broke up all the time, but I'm so glad. Praise God, I'll tell you tonight, brother, it's a joy to stay like that. I'm so glad. I don't know, brother, I'll tell you, my friend, tonight, I'm so glad that God counted me worthy and counted me in. Listen, brother, he could have put anybody else, he could have got anybody else. Oh, I tell you tonight, when I get to thinking about how good my Lord's been to me when I was a little old 15-year-old boy up in the hills of Tennessee, and without a father or mother, didn't have no place a lot of times stay all night, slept in barns a lot of times and cried all night long. And I cried for God. I didn't know why I was crying, but I'd cry and say a lot of times to myself, I'd give anything to see my mother. And before I was saved, I used to try to pray. And I'd say, oh God, won't you let my mother come by? I just got to see her. Oh, but neighbor, listen, I went as high as 3 and 4 days at the time without having a bite of food in my stomach. But I didn't know why I was having to do all that. But God was getting me ready for the day in which I'm living now. I was getting educated and didn't know it. I didn't ever get to go to school much. But, buddy, I want to tell you, I got into school and I got my diploma long before a lot of folks ever found it out. When God saved me, I was already ready for what I'm doing tonight. My friend trying to fill up the affliction of the body and that. But listen, neighbor, tonight, I'm not bragging on me. God could have bypassed me. But when I was 15 years old, working in the new ground one Thursday morning, about 9:30, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And at 11:45, I got saved down in a little old country church with all the clothes I had is on my back. And everything I had, my neighbor, I had it on. And my grandmother tried to keep me from going to church that day. But listen, neighbor, I'm glad, as Don and Earl said a while ago, if I hadn't had money, I couldn't have got saved. But I'm glad, my brother, I read in Isaiah chapter 55, hold everyone that thirsts, come me to the water. Here they have no money coming by, milk and wine, and without money and without price. I'm glad, praise God, that Jesus saved my soul. And then at the age of 17, he called me to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. I said, God, I can't preach. You know, I couldn't even read the Bible. I had a little old Bible came from down at Cress's or Woolworth's or some of those stores. I got it for me. Cost about $1.50, and I carried and cherished that Bible. And I was trying to learn to read, and God called me to preach. And my friend, I said, I love Jesus so good. I loved him day and night. I was up with him most of the time. But when he called me to preach, I couldn't. And I said, I'll not do it. I can't, Lord. I'll do anything else. I went all the way to Germany. I got knocked down 75 Germans right down in the field below me. One shot him a gun, and just me and the Lord and those Germans down there. And they hit me with a hand grenade and put 29 holes in my legs, one in my head, and knocked my gun out of my hand. And I crawled as far as I could, got to the end of my journey, and I reached up and found I had a handful of blood, and I saw my head was bleeding, and I surrendered then. I said, Lord, if you let me go back home and see my family and see my friends, I'll preach anywhere. And brother, I tell you, God sent American troops in and picked me up, and I'm here tonight by the grace of God. Oh, listen, neighbor, I wasn't trying to get away from preaching because I didn't love God. I just didn't think I could. Still don't think I can. But I praise God, I'm counted worthy. I'm glad he counted me in. And brother, listen, he not only called me to preach and fix me up so I could preach, but he's given me a ministry. For 19 years I've been going over the country preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, tonight, brother, I tell you, I've got more joy and more thrill, and I've got a greater zeal to fight the devil than I've ever had in my life. I told my church the other night, I told the church down where I was preaching last week in Kingsport, Tennessee, I said, friends, I'm going to fight for these boys and girls till the last drop of blood drops out of my body. I'm against everything looks like they're against my God. I'm against the communists and the Catholics or the rest of that gang, brother, that denies the Savior. I don't care who they are, brother, I'm against them, and I don't care for them knowing it. And I pray God tonight he'll give me grace. Listen tonight, neighbor, God never saved you just to go to heaven or to keep you out of hell, but he said you're the salt of the earth. And you know what salt is, that, my friend, is something that keeps things from decaying wherever it's at. Salt, my friend, not only purifies, but salt keeps things pure. Not only that, but salt preserves. And tonight, you and I are the salt of the earth. I want wonder what kind of a place you live in. Are you salty where you live? He said, if the salt's lost its savior, it's good for nothing. But neighbor, tonight, it'll only save us to be the salt of the earth. I read this verse of scripture here a while back where it said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And the Holy Ghost hung me up like one of these tape recorders where you pause and stop. My brother, he stopped me there on that little word, see. And he said, let your light so shine that men may see, see. And brother, I tell you, the Holy Ghost likes to choke me to death. I said, Lord, let me go on. He said, you stay right there where I've got you. Boy, he showed me things I had never seen. He said, I want you to let them see what you're doing. Not hear what you're going to do. Let them see what you're already doing. Brother, listen, this world's going to hell tonight because they don't see nothing in us. Oh, they hear a lot about these Baptists talk all the time about what they're going to do. Ain't never got around to it. I've been the Baptist ever since I've been saved. I'm a missionary Baptist, and ever since I've been saved, I've been the Baptist church. But maybe they ain't never done nothing yet. They talked about if we get this and on, that program on, the other program over, and this and up, and this and down, we get this going, that going, if we can hire so-and-so, and if we get this and that and the other, and they talk for 19 years, 26 years I've been saved, and I've heard them talk for 26 years, and they ain't done nothing yet. And my friend, the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, none of the rest of them doing anything, and the devil's taking this country as fast as she can take it. He's taking it by leaps and bounds tonight. While we're talking, God wants us to get up and do something. He said, let your light so shine that they may see, not hear your good singing, not hear your shouting, not watch your climb poles all together, but see your good works. Now, I'm not against all that. That's God I like to shout to. But I believe you ought to work while this day and night's coming when no man can work.
Amen.
Brother, I believe it's on us too. Well, now I'm going to hurry back and get to my text. Filling up that which is behind. I wonder if you're trying to do that. You say, preacher, I'm all down now. I'll tell you how to get up and on. Brother, the old Paul said, I rejoice. He said, I, Paul, am made a minister who now rejoice. He said, I'm one of these preachers that can shout over my sickness. I'm a shouting over my suffering. He said, I'm a suffering, but I'm happy about it. I'm suffering, but I'm pleased about it. I'm suffering because I'm a filling up. I'm putting in where Jesus couldn't do. And you know, Jesus told us, he said, greater works can you do because I'm going back to my Father. Now, I'm not talking about this bunch that's heard on the radio today. I'm not talking about what they're doing in the Post magazine. Now, they're telling us we're having revival on the last day, but it ain't so. I'd like to stay over here and preach about a week on why we ain't going to have one, because the Bible said we wasn't going to have one. So I wouldn't have to stay a week. I can tell you what the Bible. You don't look for end-day revival. I heard a preacher today, and he's preaching on the Lord pouring out the Holy Ghost in the last day. Honey, he ain't going to do no such a thing. That to us. He's going to do that to Israel. He promised that in the book of Joel. And Peter said, this is that. But he didn't say this is all of that. And there is no such a thing as an end time revival. That is, it were in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Honey, what I'm looking for is destruction. What I'm looking for is your children to go communistic. I'm looking for that unless we have an old-fashioned stirring of God. Now, I'm not saying the tent meetings and individual churches can't have revival. Don't get me wrong. But it won't just make you talk in tongues. It might make you stand on your head. But I want to tell you, son, if we ever have revival, it'll not be like we've been having. You've seen this preacher get up here and spend about 20 good minutes of good time trying to get $200 out of a crowd like this. Honey, if you had revival or surrendered to God like you ought to be, you'd have got it down here before he ever got up here.
Amen.
I tell you, brother, I get so disgusted in some of these Baptist camp meetings where you have to spend 30 minutes of the Lord's good time trying to take up an offering, when if you was as happy and as real and as thrilled and as thrilled and as fixed as you think you are, you'd come running down here with it just a loping. Well, there ain't many amens back through there when it comes to that. It's the truth. I was over here in a camp meeting, and they took 30 minutes trying to get $100. And I got up there in the camp meeting in Blue Ridge, and I said, you ought to be ashamed Anybody, and I had to drive 100 miles. The closest camp meeting to me is 100 miles. And I have to drive 100 miles to be in a camp meeting, and then you folks got a thing like this. If I had this in Tennessee, you know, I believe I'd give half my salary every Sunday to see it go on. Isn't that something? In fact, I'm about the notion of building the one over there. So whether anybody come or not. But you listen to me, brother and sister. You folks down here in this part of the Carolinas and some other parts of the Carolinas and some other parts of the country, you ought to be glad that you're not in some places I know of. In fact, you ought to be glad you're not right over there where I'm stuck down in Bristol. But I'm so glad I'm over there. Brother, I say to you, listen, I wouldn't want to go nowhere else. I think God wants me right there. And if he wants me there, I ought to do my best. Let my light shine there. That everybody in that country can see what I'm doing. Not what I'm talking about doing. Amen. And I want to tell you one thing before I go on further. If you ever intend to do anything, don't never tell nobody to get it done. Because the devil will mess your plans up. Here, a while back, I wanted to do something. And I got an old boy out. He's sort of a businessman. And you know, that's the meanest thing a man ever done. These preachers, I want to tell you preachers something. When you pull a businessman's coattail, try to get a little money out of them, to try to carry on a little something for God, you're insulting the Holy Ghost. And you're insulting God the Father. And Jesus Christ. Don't you ever do that. You let them fellows go on. If they don't want to give nothing, just forget about it. But I just talked to him. I thought he'd hit me spiritually. Now, I wasn't after his money now. But I thought he'd hit me spiritually, and I told him what I was going to do. And you know, the next 2 or 3 weeks, I read in the newspaper where he's going to do it. And I just read between the lines. Oh, man. And it just sort of tore me up. I was supposed to do something. Now, he's going to do it. I know why. Maybe he might do it. You see, and if he does it for what I think he's going to do it for, then the whole thing's knocked in the head, and I'm defeated. I wouldn't have told nobody, just go ahead and do it. But you know how us folks are. We got to have somebody to help us. Now, the Apostle Paul says, but I'm rejoicing. I now rejoice. He must not have done that all the time. But he said, now I now rejoice, since I've been made a minister, the kind I am now. He said, I'm rejoicing in my suffering for you. Oh, that don't sound like most Baptist preachers I know. Well, when I have a breakdown, I don't rejoice in it. I just get over and whine about it and complain about it. And when some of these church members carry the load and they carry everybody's problems till after a while, they sink down. They'll never go around saying, hallelujah, I sunk for old brother so-and-so. Bless God you can and still be happy about it.
Amen.
Oh, you say, preacher, I ain't going to do that for old so-and-so because I think they ought to. Yeah, I know it. I'm so glad you ain't my Savior. I sure am glad that a lot of you folks ain't my Savior. I'm glad, brother, that God ain't depending on you either to sort of lift me up.
Amen. Amen.
All you whining Baptists, you know, I'm about to start another denomination. Yeah. Thinking about starting the Canaan Baptist Convention. Wouldn't have to have a very big one. You see, we've got missionary Baptists, free will Baptists, and God knows how many other primitive Baptists. And a lot of them won't claim what they are, but most in all of that gang, most of them are wilderness Baptists. There's a very few that's ever crossed over Jordan and gotten Canaan. And if I could ever start me a gang like that, I wouldn't have to have a big church, about one like size this stage. You could put them all in it from every state. That's right. All of them that's crossed over and quit fussing and grumbling and complaining and murmuring. Now listen, honey, if you're in that gang, you are a wilderness Baptist. If you're always complaining about what you've had to do for old so-and-so and how much you've had to lift them up and how much you've had to encourage them and how much you've had to stand by them, buddy, that's what he saved you for. A lot of people run around here and they talk about, oh, I've got so much to do, Brother Potter. I want you to pray for me. Our church just lays everything on me. Well, they oughtn't to. Anybody complain like you, they oughtn't to. Paul said, now I've been made a minister. And he said, I now shout every time somebody comes with a problem and they lay a little more on my shoulder. I jump up and down as long as I can wiggle.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I rejoice in the fact that I'm doing what Jesus would do if he's here. That's exactly what Paul was preaching right here in this chapter. Now you say, preacher, I thought all I saved for is to go to heaven. That's a majority of folks think that.
And that's the reason we ain't getting nothing done. You're not saved just to go to heaven. You're saved to fill up that is behind of the affliction of our Savior. Buddy, he fixed up the plan of salvation all right. And he got all that finished. But he never did get done being burdened for people. He never did quit being sorry for the multitude. He never did quit feeding the hungry souls. He just sort of left it in our hands. My friend and I, a lot of folks, you'd be surprised in Bristol that many of them would come down and they pat me on the back and say, "Brother Fred, you're doing a wonderful job. We sure are proud of you in this city. But that don't put clothes on the babies, shoes on their feet, and taters on the table. It takes more than that." And sometimes I just pat them back and say, "I'm sorry for you." I am.
Amen.
Because if they can't see no further than that, you see, that's what James and Paul or John both said. If you see a fellow in destitute need and shed up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? And then one of the writers said, old James said, if you come by and just pat him on the back and say, "Brother, go be warmed and filled," and so on. In other words, just hope the Lord will take a liking to you and bless you real good. Shucks, that ain't the kind of religion you need. That ain't the kind of religion God wants you to have, brother. We need this kind that we can go out here and take other people's problems and then shout, "Well, we got them," because we's able to do it. Now listen, honey, I know what I'm talking about. I've had a few experiences. I found an old preacher or two in my ministry, three or four, in fact. One of them is about to go under. He come and told me, he said, "I'm going to quit preaching and start selling insurance. I ain't never no real estate. I ain't never going to preach another lick. I'm going out of business. Been preaching for 35 years. Best Bible scholar I knew of." And he was getting in trouble. I spent two or three different weeks in different motels. In revivals, I kept him with me. Paid his way, paid his bills, and just kept him with me to tell him that I wanted to help him. That old fellow got the victory, and I'm so glad he did. Oh, listen. Another fellow got in trouble, a preacher friend, and he got in trouble. And oh, so many times, you know, we like to kick him down, but it's only grace that's kept you out of trouble. And every time Jesus ever found a man in trouble that looked like he wanted help, Jesus helped him. And brother, he didn't leave the church down here just to twiddle around, have big shindigs and suppers and play golf and pool and dance and squabble and squibble and build big buildings. He saved us to build up that it's behind and what he left here for us to do, and pick up the little children and bless them and bless the old folks and the sick folks and go visit and pray and go to prisons and preach and all these things. Jesus left us to do that. And buddy, if he thinks enough of me and you to leave us in that kind of a position, we ought to think enough of him, bless God, to do it and shout while we have the opportunity. You know, when I got married, I told my wife, I said, "Honey," and she's here tonight, I said, "Honey, I'm going to give you a home. If we ever have any children, I'm going to give you and the children a good house to live in, and I'm going to see you have three meals on the table every day, and I'm going to see that you have clothes on your back. I'm going to see that you have the necessities of life." Well, the Lord blessed me. I asked him, and he did. He gave me a new home. And oh, I was so fixed. And then one day I was making a radio broadcast tape. And right in the middle of my sermon, I was telling everybody about I was preaching on forsaking all for Jesus. And right in the middle of it, the Holy Ghost moved in. And he said, "Are you doing what you're telling others to do?" And I looked up and under my breath, you know, when I was still preaching, and you can't stop that recorder and you just can't stop talking all the time. But I was praying, you know, on the other track. And I said, "Now, Lord, I'm willing." He said, "I don't want willing folks." And I just cut my recorder off and messed my sermon right up in the middle of it. And I got down on my knees and I said, "Lord, I don't know what you want, but speak on and I'll do whatever you tell me." He said, "Take your home and sell it Go down yonder and buy that duplex house and give it all to me, and don't ask me no questions. Don't ask me nothing. Just take off and don't look back. Well, I come out of the room shouting, and my wife said, "What's the matter, honey?" I said, "Ain't no matter. Just give my home away." She said, "Who to?" I said, "The Lord." She said, "Where are we going to live?" And I said, "I don't know. But Abraham and Sarah lived in tents, and we ain't near that good. But we're still looking for the same city. I'm not worrying about it." 3 days later, she came out, and she's not very emotional. She sat out there in the car, but it's the truth. But sometimes, boy, she came out that day, and the glory is all over her face, and she looked like an angel, just walked out of the room, and she had her hand up and said, "It's all right." And I said, "What's all right?" She said, "To give our home away." I said, "Honey, I shouted about that 3 days ago. He done had it 3 days. You could have shouted about it a long time if you'd listen to me." But neighbor, listen. I don't have anything, but listen, neighbor. I'm so tickled I don't have. Now what? And I've got, and I give everything, as I told you about the money. We give all the money we get. And then I was up in Roanoke about 3 weeks ago in a meeting, and my children got to bumping, and I got out on my knees. I got three sweet children, besides this little baby that we've got in our home that nobody else wanted, and I picked him up, nobody wanted to have him, and now nobody can't get him. I just want to let nobody have him. But you know what? I got down on my knees about my own three children up there in the motel, and somehow God just spoke to me and said, "Son, your children ain't doing what I want them to do." And I got down on my knees and I said, "God, if they can't glorify you, I'd rather bury every one of them, one by one, or three at a time." And I mean that. They're here tonight. Oh, I want you to pray that God will take me, my wife, and my three children, and that little baby, and the 67 that have God, and all the rest of them that have God, and glorify Jesus, and every one of them, that their life may be glorifying to the Lord, that nothing will be kept back, that we'll stand together as an army for the Lord, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ, and be willing to help the suffering, and be willing to help the down and outs, and be willing to carry the burdens of the Lord. Praise God, I'm glad tonight, brother, he called me and put me into the ministry. But you know, he could have got anybody else to have done it better, I'm sure. He could have got anybody else to have built the children's home in Tennessee. I'd never been inside of a children's home, but God put a burden on me in 1957, and I didn't know what it was like. I didn't know how to start one, and I just started it. And oh, I didn't know where I'd ever get my first youngins. I've got so many now, I don't know what I'm going to do. And we've had over 100 since the thing's been open. Just the other Monday, these little youngins came in, and their hair was plumb down on their shoulders, the little boys. And I didn't get time to take them till yesterday to the barbershop. And oh, I felt so good. I drove to the barber shop for these little old dirty, these little old boys, they weren't dirty because we'd washed them. They'd never seen a bathtub. I took those two little old boys in there to give them a bath, and one of them, the other one wasn't tall, but one of them backed up, and he said, I don't want to get in that water. And I said, "Oh, come on, son." He said, "I want a wash pan. I ain't never been one of them things." And I said, "Well, it's all right." I finally coaxed him into it, and I finally got him. He said, "No, I'm not going to get in there. You get out of here." And I said, "All right, I'll get out, but you be sure you get in there." And I said, I want you to be sure you wash good and wash your brother. And I left him. I went out and cried. And I thought, "Oh, Lord, you're so good. If Jesus had come by, he'd been glad to done it. And as long did you do it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you done it to me," Jesus said. Now, I'll tell you, that's the only way to serve God is put in action, brother. You don't serve God by the way you think or the way you talk or what you know. It's what you do. I don't know much and I don't can't talk much, but I can do a little something if I will. So can you. People excuse themselves because they say, "Well, preacher, I'm not educated and therefore I'm not able and I don't have the ability." You don't have to have. In fact, to serve God, you have to go crazy now. But God says, can't serve him nohow. Because he ain't never done nothing like the flesh thinks it ought to be done. The natural mind is the enemy to God. You can't bring that fella in subjections to do God's will. You have to go plumb stone crazy and forget all you ever knew. Paul did. And then he said, I'm a fool for Jesus. He did go crazy, didn't he? And you say, I want to be something in this world. Well, you, well, you can be. It's God, if you just go crazy for Jesus, nobody will know what you are. You know, over home, and nobody ever knows what I'm going to do. I don't either. My wife don't either. Oh, Lord, she don't ever know what's going to happen over that house, and I don't either. And I'm glad the devil don't even know. And that's the way you ought to keep the rascal. Keep him all stirred up. Just do whatever God tells you to do. And don't argue with God when he tells you to do it. Do it. And then you can shout about it. Paul said, I rejoice in the fact that I can fill up the suffering of the affliction for the body's sake, which is the church. Now, Paul said, I'm doing this. I'm filling up which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. For his body's sake, which is the church. You see, he said, I'm filling this up for Jesus, but I'm doing it for the sake of his body, which is individuals. You see, the church is not brick and mortar. It's folks like you. And in this camp meeting, I hope God will help you to see that he didn't save you just to go to church and to give you ties and to look pretty and on Easter wear nice hats and at weddings get some other kind and at other times wear different kinds and just be pretty. He didn't save you for that. He saved you to let everybody know that you're in business for him. I'm so glad tonight that I heard these folks, these brothers. I used to listen to them a lot. And I've got a lot of blessings out of their singing on the radio. But I'll get a lot better one now. Yeah, yeah. I ever get time to hear them again. But if I don't ever get time to hear them down here, when they get over yonder, we can talk it over. But I'm glad they're out trying to do something for Jesus. And you know, I'm glad to see anybody. Man, night before last, and that young preacher, and he's a wonderful singer. His whole family sang, bless the Lord, they can sing. I mean, they're good. And that old preacher boy and surrendered everything and he'd give up a $10,000 job this past week just to go out and preach the gospel. That's wonderful, isn't it? He got him told it last night, and I like to went through the top of my head. I thought, Lord, I can't stand it. No wonder his wife shouted all the way to the car. No wonder she shouted all the way home. No wonder she's like that. No wonder everybody else had a spell. Last night, he got up there and said, folks, I'm not bragging. I give up a $10,000 job. I walked in there this morning and told them to tear the papers up. I don't want it. I'm going to serve Jesus. That's another soldier. Boy, you know what? I go over here and meet some of these preachers, and I love preachers, I reckon, better than anything in the world. When I see a good night here just working himself to death and trying to do something for Jesus, buddy, I'd give him the last pair of socks I had. I sure would. Keep him blessed and keep him going. I like to see folks that love God. Neighbor tonight, if you don't know Jesus like you ought to, a lot of folks are saved. They ain't never got acquainted with him. If you ever learn him like you should. Oh, Paul said to give up everything that I may know him. And you know a lot of people that never found him out yet. But the longer you live for him and the more you get acquainted with Jesus, the better you like him. And the more you want to do for him. And I started to say a while ago, and I am preaching now, I just talked a little bit, testified a little. But you know, I don't have a thing else to give him. I gave him my three children just about 3 weeks ago again. I've redone that so many times, but this was really down to earth the other night up down the motel just before I went to preach. And I believe God heard me. But you know, if I owned the world tonight, I'd just turn it every bit over to the Lord. I'd like for him to use every bit of it. I'd give automobiles away, brand new ones. In fact, I've had the experience of giving everything I ever got a hold of. And sometimes I give other folks things away. I just like to give. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But you know, it's so wonderful. Just the other night, let me tell you this experience. This old boy come to me the other night, and he said, Brother Fred, I want you to pray for me. And I said, now, I know what you're bothered with. Now, I didn't know that he was bothered about going to work. But I knew he didn't have no faith, you see. I said, now I know what's bothering you, son, because you can look in most people's eyes. That's the reason I want to get these fellows down where I can see them and the rest of you up close to, but you're so far back, some of you can see what's wrong with you. But if I get close enough, I could tell. That old boy looked me square in the eyes, and I could tell right then he didn't have no faith. And I said, now, good brother. He said, I want you to pray for me, preacher. I said, no, I'm going to pray right now. And I just bowed my head and prayed. And I said, I'm going to believe for you until you get so you can believe for yourself. He said, you can't do that. I said, yeah. Bible said in the book of Romans, from faith to faith. It does say that. From my faith to yours. And the Bible tells us all through there about vicarious faith, that other folks believe for other folks, you know. Yeah, you ought to preach on that sometime. Boy, that'll just stir them up good. Shake them all to pieces. To think that you can come, and those, some of those fellows in the Bible came and they said, Jesus, my servant is sick. The servant didn't have no faith. The man that came had the faith. Jesus said, boy, you got a lot of faith, so I'll just take care of him. Before you get back home, he'll be better. Some daddies come and said, me legs are sick. And Jesus said, I'll take care of it. Great is your faith, and so on down the line. And isn't that wonderful? So you see a little old weakling in the church and he hadn't got no faith and he's got affliction there, brother. He sure has. He's worrying because he don't believe nothing. So you just believe for him. Isn't that wonderful? So I just had to believe that night, and the next morning that old boy went over and he got faith enough. I turned him loose and said, I didn't have to believe no longer. He said, tie the papers up, and then I was over with. He had faith for himself, and he just running like a little boy with a new toy, and I just jumping and kicking up his heels. Did you know that we've got the best opportunity that anybody's ever had in the world to witness and to live and to serve Jesus? Lord, help us. You know the only thing wrong with us is nobody wanting to. In my city, they asked me to be the counselor, and I wouldn't do it because I didn't have time. I've got to preach, you see, but they want me to stay and counsel with the young people. And now I saw the other day they hired a fella, and the other day he gave me a raise. He's getting $8,000 a year. Just to talk to young people. And I told the mayor the other day, I said, that feller is a cussing. He don't know Jesus. And I said, Mayor, if you're going to get anybody to work with the young people, for God's sake, get a man that respects God. I don't live in the city. I live outside. But I said, Mayor, I'm taking care of some of your youngins here in the city, free of charge. You see, nobody pays me for none of this. But I said, I think I've got a voice in this city, and if you're going to get somebody to counsel with young folks, get somebody who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. He said, we're going to get a Baptist preacher next time. I don't know whether that'll help or not, unless he gets one full of the Holy Ghost. I said, brother, be sure that he knows God. There's a lot of Baptists don't know God. Yeah. But neighbor, then they said, we want you. They came to me, and about a year ago, they approached me, and they said, we want you to take care of all the juvenile children in this city. All the juvenile children, plus all the others you've got. And we'll pay you. I said, you ain't paying me. They said, well, what can we do? I said, give me an offering at the end of the year. But I ain't taking no pay. I don't want nobody's strings attached. I haven't done that yet. I haven't tucked that yet. But what an opportunity. If I don't do that, the Catholics will. But see, Baptists don't see no sense in doing things like that. All they want is just to have a Sunday school and a prayer meeting and a study course and go home and watch television. That's right. I don't have one. Somebody come the other day. He said, where's your television? I said, the only one I ever had. Somebody give it to me because they didn't want it. And I buried it out there behind my church under the tree. I did. I buried the television. Now, that'll fix me up so I won't get to come back over and preach no more. But it did. My song leader gave me his television because his little boy went blind. He said the Lord was dealing with him and he wouldn't give it up. So he went blind. He gave it to me. I buried it under a tree out behind the church. And I read over in the book of Genesis where when they brought their strange gods to Jacob, he buried them under the oak of Shechem. And that's the only thing I know to do with it, bury. And they've come to me and offered me colored ones, white ones, or any other kind. And I don't take no kind. I don't believe in them. And I don't want one. Don't want my young ones to see none of that junk. Because that gang from Hollywood ain't got what they need. And most of those fellas that's putting that stuff on, all these things is damning our children the wrong way. We're not saved, my friend, to shindig with the devil. But we're saved to fill up the affliction of the suffering of our Lord. And for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, what are you doing about it? Oh, you say, preacher,
we're fixing to have a camp meeting.
Yeah, I've been going to them for about 5 or 6, 7, 8, 10 years now. I've been going to camp meetings every time I get a chance. I enjoy going. But you know, it seems like when the camp meeting's over, it's just about like it was before they had it. Nobody builds any more churches. Nobody helps anybody else any more than there was. And nobody else is burdened to do any more than there was. They just come over here and have a good camp meeting and sort of have a good lot of singing and a good lot of preaching and a good lot of shouting. And that sort of soothes your conscience and makes you feel like, oh, I'm ready to do something if I just had something to do. And the world's waiting for you to do it. I'm closing. But somebody come to me not too long ago, said, Brother Potter, I would do, but I ain't never been elected. The church ain't never voted on me. Isn't that something? I got saved 26 years ago, and if I ain't elected, bless God, I don't know who is. And I don't know anything that's in God's plan that I couldn't do if he'd asked me to do it. He'd never asked me to do nothing I couldn't do, and I've been elected to do everything he wanted me to do, and nobody has to vote on whether I'm going to do it or not. And if you're waiting for somebody to elect you to be a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or a singer or a pianist or anything else, you done waited too long. Come down here and tell Jesus you're ready. He'll get you a stool to play the piano on, or a class to teach, or a pulpit to preach in. He's just waiting for you to make the first move, and he'll jump you just the very minute you're willing to do it. Are you willing to?